How's everybody doing this morning? Is anybody here? All right. I hope you guys had a great week. I had a great week last week. I pray your week was as nice as mine. I got to go to Washington and enjoy my grandkids and my daughter and son-in-law and took a little trip. It was really great. I hope you guys had a great week. But I'm going to tell you something. There's still nothing like Sunday for me. There's just something about gathering with you guys, and you're my family, and I just love Sundays, and I really love you guys and being part of the church and just enjoying what God's doing. I really like the song selection this morning. I like that song, City on My Knees. I really enjoy that song because I have a heart for Salida. Your neighbors, your friends, your brothers, your sisters, your moms, your fathers, I want them to know Jesus Christ, and that song just makes me think about that message of Jesus that we have, and that I want them to know, and that I want them to experience, and that's my heart, so I really love that song, and that Let Your Light Shine, that's really what it's about, and that's kind of what this series is about. It's about not being a fan. So I want to kind of talk about a fan. Before I do, I'm going to ask, anybody here a fan, anybody here a sports fan, anybody? I see some hands go up. How about this? Let's see, I think I got a picture. Anybody here? I hear some boos. All right, so we have some fans here. How about this one? All right, I got some good fans. How about this next one? Dodger blue. Now, you notice, I want you to notice something. How many championships, Eric? Okay, come on. So some of us are sport. How about this one? All right, what about this team? Look how many Super Bowl rings, all right. You know, it's nice when I get to make the videos up myself. You know, you got your little 49er logo, but I got five championships. I know you got five too, but I didn't find that picture for some reason. You know? Yeah. Some of they're sports fans. How about some TV fans? Anybody watch TV? Boy, so nobody's a Kardashian fan? I hear some. I know there's some. How about this one? Come on, this one's mine now. Come on. I enjoy Duck Dynasty. I record them all, and then I delete the ones I've seen, or sometimes I watch them twice. I'll give you a really good one. You want to watch a good one of the Duck Dynasty, go watch the reunion that they had. The little girl that has cleft lip had to have surgery. I think it was her fifth surgery or something. She asked for a party of a reunion of all the family, and they did a family. And you got to see the little girl. I was crying as she read her statement. I have to tell you, I'm a man, but I cry. You know, here's this little girl reading a statement about God and everything. It's just amazing. So I kind of have a preference about that, and I enjoy that one. How about this one? Anybody a fan of this? Come on now. I want all I can get, and as a matter of fact, anymore. If you don't want it, let me know. I'll take your share, all right? You know? You know, some of us say, you know, it's the love of money that's the problem. You need to know. I want to make sure you know. The Bible says it's the love of money. Money's not the problem. It's the love of money. We'll hit that a little bit more in the message this morning. But also, how about this one? This one is mine. All right. All right. Don't tell Laura what picture I showed you. She told me he's in the nursery, I have to admit, I am a Disney fan. I'm kind of fanatical about Disneyland, and we're fans. We enjoy those kinds of things. We enjoy those types of experiences, and we are fans. You know, like I do, I root for football teams and baseball teams, and there's shows that we watch, and places we go that just have a special place for us, and that we're fans of, and that we enjoy. But see, Jesus isn't after fans. You know, Jesus wants a little bit more. And that's what this series is going to be about. So I kind of thought what we might need to do is kind of define what I'm talking about. Here's a definition of fan. Let me get your little outline out. You might want to kind of fill it out as we go through the message this morning. And we got like six sermons in this series. I'm going to preach five of them. Dan's got one of them. So Dan's going to share one of the messages with you as we go through the series here. But I want to begin. Here's what we're going to define. A fan is someone with an enthusiastic admirer. You know, it's kind of like at a sporting event. I don't know about you, but I have a hard time at a sporting event keep my mouth shut. Anybody? I even at home. You need to know, I cannot watch games live because I go crazy. You can ask Laura. I record the game. Then if my team wins, I watch it. They lose, I don't care. Yeah. Because I do. I go crazy. I have lost my voice at sporting events. All right? So I'm one of these enthusiastic admirers. You know, we kind of get into it. And that's a fan. How about a follower? I want to give you a definition of a follower as we go through this series. This kind of gives you an outline of what we're going to be looking at. A follower is a completely committed follower. Completely committed. You're sold out. You're all in. You know, and we're going to look at, what is it that God looks for? What is it that God desires in our life? What is it that God is seeking for us and wants us to experience, you know? So I want to ask you, which one are you? When it comes to God, when it comes to Jesus, which one are you? I want you to circle one of those. I want you to circle fan or follower. Where do you fall? And if you don't know, we're going to give you some tools to answer that in the next few weeks and kind of give you some things to look at. See, we can feel pretty good about ourselves as admirers of Jesus. You know, I love Jesus. I really do. And I can feel pretty good because I love Jesus, and I feel good about Jesus, and I feel good, and I admire his teachings, and I admire his life, and I love Jesus. But is that all there is to being a follower? Is saying, I love Jesus. Is that all that it takes to say that I'm a Christian? Is I love Jesus. See, Jesus cared for more than just fans. Now, you need to start there, and I'm going to talk as we go through the message, and we're going to see that. But you got to stand back, and you got to, well, watch this video. Watch this video.
DTR. Some of you will recognize what those letters stand for. If you're not sure, let me help you out. If you are a young man in a relationship with a young woman, then chances are these letters are enough to strike fear into your heart. You may run away from, postpone, you may dread the DTR talk. Some young men will even terminate a relationship if they feel like the DTR talk is imminent. It is that official talk that takes place in every romantic relationship. Do you know what it stands for, DTR? Define the relationship. You sit down and you decide where things are going. Have things moved from casual to committed? I remember this date I went on in high school. On the very first date, the girl tried to have the DTR talk with me. First date, DTR. I got out of there PDQ. Just ran away.
That DTR, anybody remember that conversation when you were kind of debating with yourself, do I tell her I love her? Come on, guys. Yeah. Or the girl, you ever, you know, am I going to tell him I love him? What, you ever worry about having that conversation? You know, how are we going to have that DTR, define that relationship? And that's what I want to do in the next 5-6 weeks. We're going to be looking at this. How do we define that relationship with God? How do I define that? So what I have this morning is I have just like 3 questions that kind of help us define it. That if you can answer these 3 questions, you can really simply say, I'm a fan or I'm a follower. It makes it real simple. So I want to look at these 3 questions this morning and just kind of go down through this. Because I really want to have us a heart check this morning. How would you define that relationship with God today? How would you define that relationship? So I begin with this question here. Here's one of the questions. Why are you here? Right now, this morning, in this place, why are you here? You know, God sent you. That's good. That's what I like to hear. Now, when I was younger, you know why I was in church? Because my parents dragged me to church. Anybody? You know, I was in church because my parents said, you're going to church. There was not an option. You know, we'd get up real quiet in the morning. I've told you guys this. Right? We'd get up real quiet in the morning. We'd watch Lamb Chop on TV on Sunday morning. Come on. You know, and real quiet, hoping mom and dad will sleep in and we won't have to go to church today. But they would wake up in time to go to church. You know, and we'd have to go to church. You know, and until I came 15, we were about 12, 14, 15. I can't remember the exact age when we got old enough and we said, we don't want to go. And they go, okay, we didn't go. And that was kind of it. See, some people, you know, you're here because mom or dad drug you. Maybe you're here as you got older into the teenage years. Maybe you were here because that's where the girls were. You know, we got good-looking girls, right? You know, that's where the girls are. You know, they're here to check out the girls or they're here to check out the guys, right? I mean, that's, you know. I was in a youth group. Now, come on. Don't sit there like bumps on logs. You guys know I'm telling the truth. You know? It's the girls. It's the boyfriends, you know? Or you're here because your wife, you know, she really appreciates it when you come. You know, she's nice. She'll fix you lunch and take care of you when you get home. She really appreciates when you come to church. And so you're here because your wife appreciates it. Or maybe, you know, maybe there's just somebody here that, you know, that just a significant person that you just like being around. Why are you here? You know, is it because we don't have metal chairs anymore? We got nice soft chairs. You know, isn't that nicer? You know, why do we come to church? See, why do we gather together? I think about that question. Why am I here? You know, and I want us to look at this question because see, Jesus wrestled with it. Jesus was very successful. His ministry had grown. There's huge crowds following Jesus. Miracles. The lame were walking. The blind were seeing. He was raising the dead. He was feeding thousands. And the people were following him. And it came a point when Jesus had to step back and say, we need to define this relationship. Look at this verse right here. And look at what it says, John 6:2. And a huge crowd was following him being Jesus, because they saw the signs that he was performing by healing the sick. Why don't you circle that word because? That's a key word. They were there because. Why were they there? Why am I here? Why were they there? Why were you there? They were there because of the spectacular, because there were miracles happening, because special things were going on. They were there for the food. They were there to hear. But they weren't there to hear the messages. They weren't there to hear about it's time to change lives. It's time to take a different road in your life. It's time to make better choices with your life. They weren't there to hear that message. They were here and they were there for what they could experience and for what they could get out of that experience. And so Jesus is wrestling with this. And he's wrestling with all these people that are following him. And so as he goes through this, he sails across the lake there. And as he goes across the lake, if you're not familiar with the story, just kind of fill you in John chapter 6. He's walking on the water. You know, and he goes across and walks on the water. Peter gets out. You can kind of follow along the story. You can read there in John 6 and see the story. And he goes to the other side and he's there. And guess what? The crowd was still following. And he teaches him. And he calls himself the bread of life. And he kind of sets down this time to make a decision. To determine this relationship. And he kind of draws this, I'm the bread of life. And if you come to me, you will never hunger again. And he gives this picture that can be confusing. You got to eat my body and drink my blood. Now, on this side of it, we get the picture of the Lord's Supper. But they didn't have that picture. And so they're wrestling with, what's he talking about? He's asking for a commitment. He's asking for us to make a decision. We're not just here to see the signs. He wants a commitment from us. And then he goes on, and at the end of chapter 6, here's what he has to say. Jesus said this while he was teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. When many of Jesus' disciples heard him, they said, what he says is hard to accept. He wants to listen, who wants to listen to him anymore? Then we're going to skip a few verses and go to verse 66. And there's that word because. Again, you might want to circle it. Because of what Jesus said, many of his disciples turned their back on him and stopped following him. Because it was time to define that relationship. It's no longer going to be a show. It's no longer going to be come and see. It's time to see, who are you? Are you? And why are you here? What are you here for? What are you here to have? What are you here to experience? It's time to see, what are we going to do? And so I had to circle that word because I want to ask you, why are you here? Because. If you look at your outline, there's a little place for you to write. Did you notice that? I want you to write, what are you here for? Why are you here this morning? I'm here because my wife got me up. That's me. Gary, it's time to get up. Why are you here? You know, I'm here for the good music. I enjoy the music. I enjoy the music. I'm here because the pastor's good looking and it's fun to be there. Why did you guys laugh at that one? Come on. Give me some credit. You know? But I want you to think about that. You know? Are you a fan or a follower? Why am I here? What am I expecting? Am I here for a show? Well, if you're here for a show, as I was writing this message, I'm going, if they're here for a show, you must not get very many good shows, okay? Yeah. But why? Because we need to start defining that relationship. We need to kind of step back. You know, I'm here because the kids enjoy the place and the kids enjoy what happens here. I'm here because. So I want you to think about that this morning. And we're going to go through this. You got 5 more weeks of this. Because I want us to know, why are we here? What is it? Am I just going to be a follower? A fan? I enjoy sports, but you know, when I walk out of the stadium and I leave that place, it's like, oh, it's over. Yeah. I was talking to Don Leonetti yesterday and had a good visit with Don. And remember, he used to be here in the church, and he's a race car fan, so we talk about race cars and we spent most of the time talking about church and what's going on in the churches. And he shares what's happening there, and I'm sharing what's happening here. But I always bring up race car because he's a NASCAR fan. I like the Chevy and Hendrix, and he likes the Ford guys, and so we kind of argue about cars. Fans, anybody car fans? Come on. We do these kind of things. But what about that relationship with God? Because why are you here? See, answer that question. Why are you here? The second question that'll help you kind of define whether you're a fan or a follower is, are you all in? See, being a follower requires complete commitment. It's whatever it takes. It's an absolute loyalty. See, we have a hard time with complete commitment. I don't know, you know, as a pastor, I deal many, many times with broken marriages that were made a commitment when they said, I do, to be faithful to one partner. And in the midst of that relationship, there's an affair. We have a problem with complete commitments in relationships. Yeah. But how is it with God? See, are you all in? I mean totally in. Not partly, not a little bit, but totally sold out, sold on, in. To what God is doing? Are you just kind of compartmentalize life? You have these little compartments. I'm all in, but I got a little passage here. Here's this guy that comes to Jesus, this young man, a rather wealthy young man. Remember I said the problem's not with money, the problem's with the love of money. You're going to see the issue of the love of money in this young man's life. Because this young man comes to Jesus and says, what's it going to take? You know, he's trying to wrestle with that because he's trying to answer that question. I'm going to determine that relationship. And he's wrestling with that question of what's it going to take? And he comes to Jesus. I want you to look at this passage here, Matthew chapter 19, verses 20 and 22. The young man said, because Jesus said, obey the Ten Commandments, basically what Jesus said. I have obeyed all these things. What else do I need to do? I've kept the Ten, I love God. I mean, you know, I keep the Ten Commandments. Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, go and sell your possessions and give the money to the poor. If you do this, you will have treasures in heaven. Then come and follow me. But the young man heard this. He left sorrowful because he was rich. He didn't want to be all in. Yes, I want what God wants to give me. Yes, I want my life blessed. Yes, I want the blessings of God. But I'm going to hold back this. I'm going to hold back a little bit. I'm not going to be all in. We have this kind of customized Christianity, okay? Because we have this pick and choose. I'm going to be a Christian. I'm going to follow God, but God, don't mess with my sex life. If I want to have an affair, if I want to have sex before marriage, if I want to live with somebody, God, I'm yours, but don't ask me to put off sex until I'm married. We see that today, do we not? Come on. You know, it's, you know, I'm a Christian, but God, just this little area of my life. God, I'm a Christian. I'm all in for you, God. But, you know, I can't forgive so-and-so. You know what he did to me, God? God, you know what she said to me, God? I can't forgive her, God. I'm all in, but I'm going to hang on to this bitterness. I'm going to hang on to this resentment, God. I'm yours, but God, just this little part over here, I'm going to hang on to. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, it's like, yes, God, I'm in, but this little compartment, this little section. And God says, you got to be all in. Money, I got this picture here. I like this picture. I've had this picture for a long time. I think I've showed it in the past. They're baptizing this guy. He's getting baptized, but guess what's not getting baptized? His wallet. He's not baptizing his wallet. God, I'm all in, but not my money. You know? It's mine. I've worked hard for it. It's what I've earned. It's mine, God. It's mine. So you can have all this, but don't talk about money. Isn't money one of the hard topics in church? You know? Doesn't the church, all the church wants is my? See, somebody said it. You guys know it. You guys were afraid to say it, weren't you? Yeah. I'm going to tell you, God doesn't want your money. God wants your heart. And I tell you, where your heart is, guess what? Your money will go. That's as simple as it is. You know? God wants your heart. That's what he wants. But you got to be all in. Total. 100% in. You've got to be all of it. And it's sold out. And it's all you want. But see, we want this customized religion. I have these desires. I have these wants. As soon as I get and then God, I'm all in. I've dealt with that one a lot. I've said in conferences and counseling sessions with somebody and individuals, and as soon as I can get my this straight, or I have this organized, or this happens in my life, then I'll give my life to God, and then I'll go on with God. I like that rich young ruler. I got that verse up there again right after this because I think it's so true. I think it's so true because it's like, God, yes, I'm in. I'm going to do all you say, except I'm going to ask you, what's that exception in your life? What's that thing that you just, yes, God, I'm in. Yes, God, I'm almost all in. You know, it's almost everything. I remember when I was proposing to Laura, and Laura and I were going to get married, our conversation, and Laura, what music doesn't Laura like? Somebody give me an idea here. Country music. You guys know Laura well. Laura doesn't like country music. So when I was praying, we were talking about getting married, and we were getting all this stuff together, she goes, I'll go anywhere with you except for one particular state called Texas. You guys know Laura, right? All right. But you need to know, if God called us to Texas, guess what? She would have went to Texas because one of her comments when the church was setting me aside and acknowledging that God had called me, our pastor that she had grown up with since she was 6 years old, asked her the question, would you go anywhere Gary would go? And she didn't say Texas that time. She goes, I came to Willits, didn't I? And we were living in Willits. And Laura's a city girl. I mean, it's like I'd like to buy one of these houses out in the country out here, you know, somewhere out here on Kernan Road near the end. You know, there's some nice little farmhouses out there, little five-acre places out there. That would be nice to live. Laura wants a neighbor next door. You know? But she goes, I'll go to, you know, I came to Willits. All in. All in. That's, you know, you need to know when Laura had her 50th birthday, to give you an idea how old she is. She's, don't tell her I told you, but yeah. I took her, we went to Disney World and took all the kids to Disney World because she had been all in. Wherever I went, it's like, okay, we're going to go to college. Let's go to Riverside. All right, we're done with college. Let's go up to seminary. So go up to seminary. Oh, we're done with seminary. I don't know where we're going to go. We're just going to move over here to Sacramento for a while we find a church. And I was preaching in a little town called Fiddletown. And then, oh, we're going to go to Willits. Yeah, Willits. If you don't know where Willits is, it's nowhere, okay? It's in the middle of nowhere, all right? And she went up there, and Laura's just everywhere we went. If I have to pick somebody that for me that's been all in, it's been Laura for me. It's just whatever, wherever I went, Laura's just went with me. We're married. She didn't have any choice, did she? Yeah. But we got to think. I want to ask you, are you all in? Sold out, totally, you're in. There's no bargaining with God. There's no bartering with God. There's no finagling with God. Either you're in or you're out. See, a family likes the easy way, the selective way. And we like that. No sacrifices, comfortable life, as long as everything works well. Anybody have problems? Laura and I come home this week. You know what? We come home and our freezer door was left open. And we had just shopped before we left. And it's like, okay, what are we going to have for dinner? Well, ain't nothing there. Let's go to Taco Bell. Yeah. What do we have problems. And we all do. Yeah. But you're all in. Totally. It's all in. I like this little passage here. This is going to be kind of the motto scripture for the whole thing. It's Luke 9:23. It's the next one. Then he said to the crowd, he being Jesus again, if anyone wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross daily, and follow me. I struggle with that verse because I learned it in King James. If anyone wants to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. I've learned that in the King James. I'm going to encourage you. You got 5 weeks. I'm going to give you one. You know, usually we get 1 week every verse. You got 5 weeks to get one verse. How's that? Is that okay? Can you guys get one verse in 5 weeks? Let's do this one together. Can we do this one together like we used to? You guys remember how we used to do it? You quote the reference. You say the verse. You say the reference. Can we do that together? Is anybody here with me? I see some heads bouncing. All right, here we go. You guys ready? Luke 9:23. Then he said to the crowd, I don't hear you guys. I just hear me. Am I talking too loud? All right. You guys are better than me. I always do that. You guys got it. Learn this. This is going to be the motto verse. Are you a fan or a follower? You know, are you all in? God, I got this little patch over here. I look at it as I get a gardening image when I say this. This is just for me. I get this image of a garden. Or maybe it's your front yard. Maybe I can use this one because I just did this at my front yard. I killed all the dandelions in my front yard. Margaret helped me buy the right stuff, and I got rid of all my dandelions. Can you imagine? I got my front yard, but I'm going to keep a little patch of dandelions over here. How's that going to work? We clean all the dandelions off this section of my yard, but I'm going to keep this little patch over here of dandelions because the yellow flowers look pretty, and the kids, my grandkids love blowing those things. Yeah, that's kind of what we do when we're not all in. Did you know that? It's kind of like we leave it over there, but I'm going to tell you what. Those weeds are going to blow over here. Yeah. You need to take care of that. You've got to be all in. I think this is why some Christians are so miserable. Because they just dabble with Christianity. It's good in these areas, so I'll take the good things I like, and I want the blessings of God, and I want these good things God wants to give me, and I'll give God some of the good things in my life, but I'm going to kind of keep this to myself. And then they wonder why God's not, and why life's all messed up, and why they just can't figure life out. See, I want to challenge you. You need to be all in. But here's the key I'm going to tell you. If you answer that question, because I am here, if you answer that question, it makes it easy to answer this question. If you can say, I'm here because, da 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 da, and you are here because, and you got that you got that answered, it's easy to answer the all-in one. Either you are or you aren't. It's that simple. And so I want to challenge you to do that. To answer that question, you have to be all in. Sold out, totally committed. Sacrifice, whatever it takes. I'm on God's team. And that's a challenge for us because it's hard for us to do. And it's hard for God to send. And now the third question. Remember the questions? Why are you here? Are you all in? And the third question is, have you made it your own? Have you made it your own? You cannot go on your parents' coattails. God's not looking for a relationship with you and your mom and God. Or you and your dad and God. Or you and your husband and God. Or you and your wife and God. Or you and your kids and God. God is looking for a relationship with you. It has to be your own decision. It's your personal decision. Nobody makes it on their own. All right? I really admire, like I said, when I was growing up, I thought my grandparent, my grandma, my dad's mom was a little wacky, all right, when it come to God. Praying every time you get in the car, that's wacky. You know, when you're 14 years old, you just want to drive. Forget the prayer. Just give me the steering wheel. You know? But now as I look back, I admire my grandmother. And I admire what she stood for in her comments. The other grandmother that would sit in her recliner and ask us the Christmas story questions. I admire them. But you know what? I can't be a follower of God on their coattails. On my grandma. I can't. It just, or my grandfather. It just doesn't work. It has to be your decision. It can't be a boyfriend. It can't be a girlfriend. It can't be some other friend, a spouse. It's got to be your decision. And that's what God is asking us for. See, this is what makes it a follower. It's personal. It's you. Look at what the scripture says here. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Now, that word hate sounds really strong, but I'm going to tell you, let me tell you what the word hate means here, just in case it gets confusing, because sometimes we try to define these terms and water them down. I'm going to tell you what the word hate means here. All right? He's not talking about hating where you're mad at them and you're angry with them. It's like, I am all in with God. It's my decision. I'm on board with God. And it doesn't matter what my parents say. See, when I was going to get baptized, when I was going to join the church, you know what my dad told me? Are you sure you want to do that? And a little flag went up in my head. I was 17 and still, you know, my dad's smart. He's got good life experiences. And it's like, I don't know. It took me 6 months to get past that question of whether I wanted to take that next step of baptism. And so what he's saying is, it's your decision. You have to make that decision. You know what I say week in and week out here? For 30 years, I've said pretty much the same thing. You have to reach a point where you say something along these kind of lines, right? You guys know where I'm going, right? God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I am tired of doing things my way. I want to do them your way. Come into my life and take control. That is a personal decision. Nobody can make that decision for you. There's no coattails to ride on. There's no bus to get on that, hey, this bus is going to have everybody get on. You got to get on your own bus. You got your own car. You got to go. And that's the picture he's painting here. And that's the picture we need to see here. See, that's what Jesus is like. He's looking for a relationship with us, with you, personal, one-on-one. This is what I like about being a Christian. You know who I have access to? I can go straight to God. Did you know that? That this morning when I walked around this building, I was talking with God, straight to God. I didn't have to get on bus with anybody. I didn't have to talk to anybody else. This morning in the prayer room, I was praying. I was praying with God. I had a partner in there praying. And we were praying. We didn't have to have anybody in there. You have that access to God. But it's personal. It's your decision. And so I want to challenge you. Are you a fan or a follower? Can you answer this question? It's my decision. I like the passage there in the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, who? Everyone, personal decision, not those who call, who? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. See, I like that passage But what I want to make sure you paint a picture of is, you know what? I began this walk as a fan. I got a diagram here. Let me show you this little diagram here. Got this little diagram here. Because you can kind of see, I kind of want you to look at that diagram. Because we have our community. That's Salida. And we got that community. And we want to reach that community. I love that song, City on Our Knees, because that's, we want, I want to reach Salida. The crowd are those who come here. They walk through those doors. That becomes the crowd. Yeah. Those are those, and it may be you. I don't know this morning. Maybe you've never made a decision about Jesus Christ. Maybe you never crossed that line. Maybe you never said something along the lines of, God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. And you never crossed that line. You're part of that crowd. You're here, but you've never made that decision, that personal decision you have to make. You're part of that crowd. See, that's the fan base. You see the fan base there? You get the picture of the fan base? It's that. It's the community out there. There's nothing wrong with God. God's okay. Jesus is okay. The crowd is, I want to know a little bit more. I want to hear a little bit more. I'm here to kind of investigate. I'm here to check it out. It's okay to be a fan, but it's not okay to stay there. That's what this message is about. That sometimes we got to take that next step into that congregation. That, you know what, I'm kind of moving a little closer. You know, I'm here. I'm still kind of on that fan, that follower, kind of trying to straddle. I'm in that kind of congregation. But there's a time to make a commitment. See, there's a time to say, I'm all in. Sold out, total commitment, 100%. It's all for God. There's not a little patch over here that I hung on to. And then you move into the core. So here's my comment this morning. Are you a fan or a follower? Determine the relationship. DTR. Determine that relationship. Are you a fan? Are you a fan? Why are you here? Are you all in? And is it yours? See, that's my challenge. So here's what I want to say. What's your next step? Where are you at? I gave you the little chart there. Where are you at? You know? I'm kind of the crowd. I'm still kind of checking it out. Rah, rah, Jesus. You know, and that's okay. But I'm telling you, it's okay right now. Don't stay there too long. You need to move into that follower. You need to move into that commitment. Sold out. So I'm going to just ask you, what's your next step? Where do you need to move? Is there something in that not all in that you need to kind of throw in? It's like, God, I've been holding this back, but here it is. I'm giving it all to you today. You know, are you a follower of Jesus or are you a fan? I challenge you. We're going to challenge you. For 5 more weeks, you get to hear this 5 weeks. Dan gets one of them. So it's not just me. Yeah, but I want you to think about that. And so to help you, if you turn that over, do you see what it says at the top? Daily devotional. Daily devotional. I could have put all in devotional. See, could I have wrote that? 5 minutes. I'm going to ask you to give me 5 minutes a day, preferably in the morning. 5 minutes. Just give me 5 minutes. Well, wait. Give God 5 minutes every morning. All right, let me get this on the table right. Give God 5 minutes every morning. We're going to do this for 6 weeks, okay? We're going to give you a little outline like this, one day a week, one day every day, one little 5 minutes every day for five weeks, 6 weeks counting this one. And so I want to challenge you, just take a few minutes, like today, sometime today, maybe before you go to bed, maybe while you're having lunch, I don't know, but answer, DTR, define the relationship. Take a few minutes in the space below to define your relationship with Jesus. What is it now, and what do you want it to be? And I'll give you a little hint. You know, if you answered the because, you already got a good start. All right? If you answered the because earlier, you already got a good start. So I just want to challenge you. So you're going to have this because I want you to be all in and just kind of help you grow a little bit, help us go beyond what? Are you a fan or a follower? Is there a line you need to tape? What's your next step? Where do you need to go? Where are you at? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words and your truths, that you're a God that seeks us, that though we may run from you, that we may hide from you, though we may have little compartments of our life that we reserve, that you pursue us and that you want us. You know, while our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, maybe there's some things in your life that you've been battling, that you've just kind of held back. I don't need to know what they are, but maybe you want to raise your hand and say, I got some things I just need to surrender to God that I've kind of held back and I've tried to deal with it on my own. I can't defeat it. I can't conquer it. I need some prayer. Would you raise your hand? Just lift your hand up. Thank you. Thank you. I see those. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, I just thank you for these who have the courage to raise a hand and say there's a part that they need to surrender. Give them wisdom, Lord. Give them strength. Lord, let your spirit just take control of that in their life, whatever it may be, and just drop it in your lap, Lord, that you take it away from them. Whatever it may be, Lord, you know the hearts and minds of all that are here. So I ask you to give wisdom, to give strength, to remove that from their heart, to remove that from their situation, to remove that from their thoughts, to take them to another level, Lord, to remove that from their life. And as we're praying, I want to encourage you, do you know Jesus this morning? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Maybe you need to cross that line. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand because that's kind of hard to do sometimes, but just right where you're at. I'm asking you to move from being a fan to kind of become a follower, to surrender your life to him. Just pray a little prayer. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come into my life and take them. Just pray those words. Say, God, I'm in. It's not on my parents. It's not on my wife. It's not on my brother, my sisters. God, I'm in. I'm tired of doing things my way. Come into my life and take control. Lord, I just thank you for these that are here. Touch hearts as we give you our hearts, as we give you our lives. Guide and direct us and lead us in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. For it's in his name that we pray, in the name of Jesus, amen. Well, we've given an invitation, and I'm here to pray with you. I don't know what God is dealing with this morning. I don't know where you're at. Maybe you need to make a public profession of Jesus. Maybe you need to come and want me to pray with you about accepting Jesus. Maybe you need to cross that line and say, God, I'm in. Maybe there's some things you want to get some relief from. Maybe there's some bitterness. Maybe there's some sin. I don't know what it is, but I'm here to pray with you. I'm here to share with you. So I'm going to ask you to stand, and we're going to sing this song, and you come as the Spirit leads. So would you stand, and would you sing, and you come, and we'll give God the glory and the honor.